Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love our work and are fascinated by how astrology manifests in our daily life, in our politics, in our metaphysics. And we like sharing this mapping system that we've come to understand with you, our audience. A little later on in the night, we will give out our call-in number and ask you to call in and check in on and bring questions to us. Bring questions about how you think astrology works, specifics about astrology, or bring them about your chart. We will tend to answer them in a way that will be informative to all rather than just personal to you. But we all do private readings if you want to get more specific about your own chart. So this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. In the quiet, and it's brown here. It's no snow. Last year we had 3 feet of snow at this time of year. And I'm joined by my friends in New York. We have Anne.
Anne Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark might be joining us. He's gallivanting with his wife in the Berkshires, so if he gets near a phone and he's not busy, he'll call. Otherwise, he might not make it today.
And that's Mark Waltz at DharmaRising.com. We love our collection of odd astrologers. The three of us bring different perspectives, and I always learn from bouncing my ideas off of you and Mark.
Yes.
I think this is really interesting collaboration, and I suggest to anybody who has been to a reader many times that it's always helpful to go to a fresh reader and get a fresh perspective, that each person can add a little sliver of the total picture, another piece to the quilt that can give you information, and to investigate it yourself so that you can grow in your own understanding of astrology and use it on for yourself. Now, tonight, if you were looking out the window, there was the most beautiful Moon-Venus conjunction, crescent moon, just getting started, with Venus glowing so brightly, you know, very close to it in the early evening sky. It's well set now, but it's going to conjunct as the evening progresses, and it's conjuncting in the sign of Aquarius. And Venus in Aquarius can help make these holidays a little bit more comfortable than other holidays might, because Venus in Aquarius helps us appreciate our tribe, our family, our community, just the warmth of a gathering. But Venus in Aquarius doesn't always want to get too personal.
No,
so sometimes it can feel better to have that that great conversation in the group, but you might find that you're not quite as close, for better or for worse. You can also avoid some of the big family fights that way, but you're not quite as close with the individual people in your life as you might be under other circumstances, but it can really enjoy the collaborative feeling of it.
Yeah.
And how were your holidays, and how did you see that?
They were really nice, actually. You know, we had went to my sister's, and Dad and my stepmother were there, Peggy, and it was actually was really lovely. We had a good time. My Aunt Kay and Uncle Cliff came up from further down Florida, too, so it was kind of a little bit of old, little bit of new. It was nice, and then tonight I came home, and one of my students got married, so I just came home from a lovely wedding that I was dancing at about a half an hour ago. Yeah, it was they had people in for Christmas, and they actually had gotten married in the fall. They elected a chart. She's a very good astrologer, and she'd elected her wedding chart. And then tonight was the family party, for lack of a better word. So I got to meet the mom and the dad and, you know, dance, and, you know, it was really very lovely to just kind of celebrate with a family. And they had been together. They had been partners for close to 2 decades. And just got married because it became legal here in New York State. So it was a lovely wedding. We had a great time. and then hopped in a cab and flew home to talk to you on the show tonight. And it is kind of a Aquarian day, you know. This is an Aquarian week. Mm-hmm. It's actually a gentle week, I think. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes that week after the holidays can be a little harsh. But this one's gentle because we're still riding with that back end of Jupiter station. And he stopped on Christmas Day after a mm-hmm. six-month backward journey in Taurus, and now he's sitting at one, zero rather, and getting ready to go forward. And what he does when he does that is he really reminds us on a very fundamental level about our relationships, because Jupiter is all about the, you know, the good relationships, the relationships of community, collective, the peeps that you want to hang out with that you don't necessarily know, but that you smile at across the bus at, or mm-hmm. the people that make you feel part of where you live. Why do you live in New York? Why do you live in whatever city? Very often, it'll be your Jupiter line that says, you know, the location that you feel at home in. So it's a Jupiter stopped. And in the sky right now, there's five planets, I think it is, all kind of in a row, that are all at 0 or 1 degree or at 29. And so Jupiter's talking to each of those, which is kind of cool because he is very, he's a busy, he's a big guy and he's a busy guy, but he's also a nice guy. So I think that is part of why the holidays kind of felt friendly and kind, you know, to me at least they did. They felt very connected and related. But he is, Jupiter is talking to Saturn, he's opposed to Saturn, and he's talking to the Sun, a little bit to Pluto. He is talking to, he's got a square to Pallas, semi-square to Pallas Athena. And then he's got a, talking to Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron, talking to Uranus. So he's really talking to a lot of the planets.
He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. So we're all busy on an internal level about our fundamental relationships and how we want them to work. So what have you noticed about the relationships
well,
in your life?
I have seen that really beautiful pattern. Again, that there's a lot going on inside, though I'm finding that people are more kind of sort of pleasant and positive and not as personal. Mm-hmm. But what I've also noticed with that is that there's a thoughtfulness growing. There's a couple of pieces. Mercury in Sagittarius is also fairly, it can be honest, but honest in not an intentionally mean kind of way in general. But the Sun is moving into a conjunction with Pluto. And on Christmas Day at that new moon in Capricorn, the moon was also involved there in conjunct Pluto. And so I've noticed that a lot of people need to spend a few moments mourning what was and remembering old traditions. You know, it could be very sweetly reminiscing about the old traditions or actively sad when they think about the old traditions, but going through something that doesn't allow, that, you know, brings up a lot of feeling and thought for them and needs to be moved through and out the other side. So if they, and over the next few days, we see that Sun coming to conjunct Pluto, and that thoughtfulness, that having to let go of something about the past year as we review the year before we get ready to move into the next year. Review where that, how different this year is from the year before. You know, right now, there's a kind of a taking a deep breath and a friendliness, as you so nicely described. But there is this deep breath of, you know, these melancholy moments, you know, even as we're excited about some of the political changes that are going on in the world, there will be moments of sadness and as we let go of what was. And I find that, you know, some families are really feeling the sadness this year because they weren't as materially comfortable this Christmas by a long shot as they were in other Christmases. But I'm also seeing with that some families returning to an ingenuity. I'm hearing of more made presents this year than bought, or smaller but more thoughtful presents, or activities that they do for one another rather than spending on money. Mm-hmm. And that can also be one of the benefits of this pattern.
Not having a lot of money, you actually spend time with each other. And
yeah.
And
but
out.
With mm-hmm. Jupiter heading forward in Taurus. How do you see Jupiter in Taurus for the next year, now that it's moving forward again? How do you see that affecting our economy?
Well, I think Jupiter in general is the, you know, he's a little cautious when he's in Taurus. You know, it's an Earth sign, so he doesn't like Earth signs so much because Earth is heavy. It's hard to move. But there's a sense of it's not as bleak. There's a lack of a release of the bleakness, maybe is the best way to say it, where people don't feel like that they're, you know, they're counting to the last cent. I mean, some people still are, certainly, but that there's less of a direness to it. And there's also a feeling of choice. You know, it's not feeling so locked out, whereas before there was definitely, you know, like you felt like you had to count or you didn't know if you'd make the rent. Although I did have someone recently come who was, you know, worried about how she was going to pay the rent. And I'm like, no, you don't do an astrology reading. Although, I mean, I appreciate, you know, but it was hard because it was like, you got to pay the rent, you know, that's part of whatever. But I think part of the energy of this Jupiter going forward, and I like him. I mean, he takes us back to 2000. He takes us back to 88, 76. Each of those were really nice years for me. And in my case, it was in the house of the mind. So it was kind of learning things I didn't know before and figuring out, well, this is the thought patterns I want to carry with myself. Jupiter expands whatever house he's in. So in the house of money and in the house of what's of value to us, what he does is he makes us realize, because whatever house is Taurus in your chart is going to be the house of things that you value. These are the things that you find really important in your life. So I think your point was well observed of people going, you know, I can't really afford to do something, but really, what is a gift but a way of saying I love you and I want to spend time on you or with you. And if I can't afford it, maybe I'll just spend time with you, which actually is really the bigger gift of all, you know, because people – I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who was a lawyer, and both of his kids had retrograde Saturns. Dad worked really, really, really hard. And at one point he's like, all they want me for is the money. And I'm like, no, what they want you for is the time. But because you don't have any time to give them, they take the money as a second. And he kind of looked at me, you know, with one of my mouth shooting off. I didn't really mean it to quite go off that loudly. But he actually then later said, you know, that was helpful because you're right. They did always want time with me. And what I did was, you know, it caused a moment of, yeah, what we really want is we want time. We want the people that we love to spend time with us and on us and play with us, you know. And a lot of times presents are used as a way to say, gee, I know I haven't spent any time with you, but, you know, it doesn't mean you don't mean anything to me. Hmm. But really the way we know that we mean something to them is that they do want to spend time with us. You know, and I remember at one point, it was an interesting comment. A therapist said to me, well, you know, people spend time on the things they love. So the corollary is if they don't spend time on it, you know, why? What doesn't mean they don't love it necessarily, but that is a question to ask or to at least look at. Where do you spend your time? Because we often manage to spend time on the things that are most important to us. And I think what Jupiter asks us to do is to look at what we value. What is it we value in our life? What is most important? Where do we spend our
time?
That's
wonderful.
Yeah.
So we're heading into the New Year's Eve weekend. And
yay.
I see Friday, that, you know, Thursday and Friday of this week, after this nice kind of collective energy. So it's today and tomorrow and the next day are really good for just hanging with your friends. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the week, you may feel a little overwhelmed or emotional as the moon heads into Pisces. It just is a time when we, you know, it's now it may be time to get more personal or more real, to talk to people. It's not a good time to ask people, so what are you doing with your life with this Sun-Pluto conjunction, though it can be tempting. But more is to just really hear where they are rather than ask them tough questions that put them on the spot. Towards the end of the week, you know, accept people's boundaries. They're maybe feeling a little overwhelmed. You may need them to get more personal just when they need some private time, but if you give them their space, they will come back around. Then the moon heads into Aries, and then conjuncts Uranus, squares Pluto on New Year's Eve. So it's kind of a wild and crazy New Year's Eve. It's not going to be an easy time to sit home alone. And the desire is going to be to want to get out and about, spontaneous last-minute plans and changes. It can be a little dangerous this weekend, as you know, the energy is just kind of a little wild, a little manic, and there's a Mercury square Mars just after midnight or just before dawn on New Year's Day. So if you are driving, be careful of the road conditions. If you're at a party, duck out. If there's a fight, there's just kind of a little sparky vibe right after, between New Year's Eve, between midnight and dawn. And to play it safe, play it cool, think about what you want to cut out. It's a very good time for New Year's resolutions. It's a good time to think, what do you want to cut out and what do you want to begin?
Yeah, it's good. Really good New Year's resolution one. It's
really
a walk. It's a walk your talk one, which is very nice. Yeah, no, I think that's interesting about the, if there's a fight cut out. I always think people go to places where there's fights. It's like, yeah, they do, Anne.
Or
and New Year's is a good time for one. Yeah, yeah, no, it's a good time for a fight. It is a
and
pretty
that
activity.
And your grandmother's, you know.
Yeah.
It sometimes those fights aren't necessarily.
In
you
a
know,
bar.
Right.
They can be at grandma's house when she got run over by the reindeer or something like that. I think it's also instructive, you know, because it is a because Jupiter is going direct now and he is talking to all the planets, that there's a lot of volatility. And I think maybe, Heather, spending a little more time on that moon, you know, what you saw, because we said before the we always kind of chat a little bit before the show starts, and so she had a couple of really pithy remarks about that moon in Aries.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve. Talk a little bit more about like what it feels like energetically, so they know what to watch for.
Well, it's not only it's a moon in Aries with the moon squaring the sun, squaring Pluto, and have conjuncting Uranus. So it's a lot of last minute shifts and change of ideas, a willful energy, you know, suddenly where you maybe have been thinking, oh, I'm going to live a nice quiet life and I'll never go out on New Year's Eve again, feeling like, oh, I need to go watch fireworks tonight. And it is good to be around the buzz. It is good to feel that energy and give yourself room for safe spontaneity. And bring the spontaneity with you. Just watch a tendency to move into a sort of manic edge. That we are reviewing the past, we are exciting and lighting sparks for the future, and anything we can do to kind of celebrate the moment is lovely. But I would think about it as we feel the changes. If people want to act out, it's a good time to act out. I would play it safe myself. And personally, I would avoid the large places where everybody's in one place at one time, just because the Aries energy isn't particularly well contained.
You're not going to Times Square on New Year's Eve.
I'm not going to Times Square. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to a place where you can dance or move, if the energy, if Aries is not contained like that and it has more room to move, it's a little easier on it. Now, it's also, you know, it's always a party in New York City because New York City was on January 1st of 1898. It was incorporated. The five boroughs came together. So New Year's Eve is always New York City's birthday party. And as such, it's pretty, you know, it throws one of the biggest parties in the country, without a doubt, and has some wonderful energy to it. New York City itself, it will be a sun and moon return for New York City. The moon is later on, it'll be the next day, New Year's Day will be a return because New York City's moon is a 26 Aries, but that's, you know, birthday revisited every year. It brings that fresh energy to us, and it will be, New York City was born with Jupiter on the ascendant at 9 degrees of Libra, exactly. And so Uranus, the moon will be opposing that Jupiter on that day, so coming a very high energy, festive oomph, but I would ask it to just be a little careful in any place where the energy doesn't really have a place to go and can build up. So dancing, fireworks, all those kinds of things would be safer than just sitting still. Though that may also be fine as long as they've got something to chant and something to do.
Right. Chanting and singing in a place where you know the people, good idea.
Right.
Chanting
Absolutely.
And singing in a place you don't know the people, not such a good idea. So
it's different.
Yeah.
So
and I think the last piece would be to talk about Mercury hitting the nodes and Venus hitting the nodes this week. And we are still in Mercury's shadow. So Mercury, as it leaves its shadow, is very much about reminding us, connecting us with old friends, connecting us with old people. He leaves a shadow on the first. And he hits the nodes of fate on asking you to make a choice or meeting someone or inviting someone of a Sagittarian nature in your life. And then Venus meets the nodes this week too. So she's going to talk to you about what's of value to you. So kind of, it's really a good week for you to really focus on what is deeply of value to you. And we have somebody called in, but they have a question mark by their name. And I don't have my little that I can pick up. So I'll give out
Can you give out the
I will give out our phone number. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And they have a question mark, so I will try and see if I can pick them up. The switchboard doesn't have its normal little things on. Are you there, 336?
I am.
Cool. They gave me new clues on this. It's all different looking. So I normally have a little phone and a microphone. And you are now, you have a question mark by your number. So I'm like, all right, well, let's click the question mark.
Maybe she has a question.
And maybe she has, maybe it says, if you have a question for our callers, and now they're giving us a question mark. Who knows?
So how can we help you tonight?
Maybe that's it. Well, you know, here we are at the end of the year. And I follow you. I think you're awesome. I'm learning astrology. And
I have
to thank both of you, all three of you, for what I learned from listening to your show. But, okay, that out of the way. Now,
okay.
The question.
Thank you.
The question is, what's this year going to look like?
What's the year, the theme of the year?
Yeah, what's the theme of the year?
Okay, well, I think the first half of the year is, you know, we got Mars in Virgo till July, arguing. And Mars is about our plans and how we're going to do it.
And self-improvement,
right? And then he's retrograde, so he says, oh, I don't want to do this self-improvement. And then Venus is retrograde, right after Mars goes direct. She's retrograde May, June. So those guys are really negotiating kind of in our, you know, their personal planets going backwards make us revise what we think is possible for ourselves. And then in June, July, Saturn stations at 22, bringing up the story of November for you to figure out. And then he goes forward and clears Libra and enters Scorpio, starting for those Scorpio, Saturn and Scorpio babies, or anybody with Scorpio, he's then going to have 2.5 years in Scorpio. So we're really going to resolve our relationship issues by September with a lot of drama between now and June. And then he expands off into it. And then, of course, Neptune entering Pisces, we're all going to get new dreams. That happens in February. Heather, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting as Neptune enters Pisces and stays there until 2025, and that happens in February. And Neptune and Saturn will be trining off on and off, which is great for our spiritual life, and it's great for dreaming different ways of being in the world, but we're really going to have to work on our psychic boundaries. And I also think that we're going to deal with water rights and water quality problems. One of the things that I'm noticing about next year, like last year was a whole intense deconstruction phase.
Blow it up, tear it down.
Planets change signs. Just blow it up and tear it down. but it stays very malleable, this whole new era that we're in, through 2015 as Uranus and Pluto form seven squares and ask us to keep adjusting. And this, certainly between now and June, the constant re-improvement, let's make it better, make it better, make it better, both in our personal lives, our health, and our daily lives. So I'm seeing that great push for improvement all through this early phase. And then in the fall, and again, I agree with Anne about the late spring or right before summer, you know, we need to take our relationships seriously and work on them. I also think food is going to be an issue as Ceres goes through some tough aspects as at the spring planting time. And I think that the food source and the food rules are going to be a little tricky, and that it will be helpful for people to plant a lot of food and to look at food supplies around the globe, because I think they're going to be a little tough. I also expect weather patterns to be wild this summer as Jupiter enters Gemini and squares Neptune throughout the summer. So I think it's going to be too much water in some places and too little water in others. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, Saturn enters Scorpio. And Saturn in Scorpio can be kind of suspicious. It's really good for political investigations. Saturn was in Scorpio at the height of the McCarthy era, so it can be productive or unproductive suspicions. And so how we use our suspicions is going to be important. And that's just in time, right before the election. So there may be some last-minute scandals right before our elections come out, or an attempt at scandals.
Interesting.
And then Mercury goes stationary on voting day.
Which we had with George Bush. It went.
Yes, yeah. Only then it was going stationary, direct. Turning direct after 3 weeks retrograde. Now mm-hmm. it's going stationary, retrograde after direct.
Direct, right.
But in either case, Mercury's stationary. So I think if we can vote ahead of time, it's going to be important. But that all through the year, much of our life is going to stay unsettled, and we need to stay involved in it and directing it. Day after day after day, and just stay involved in local politics, stay involved in our relationships, and just keep it positive. Try not to take everything personal, as it will be tricky, because everything is emotion and people are anxious. So keep it moving in a good direction.
Yeah. And I think also with the political thing, it's like, you know, paying attention and saying, I'm watching. I'm paying attention to what's going on. It really calms or focuses people's attention as opposed to not. I also, the Jupiter in Gemini is a lot of promises that aren't probably going to happen. So you want to listen to what they really can truly deliver. You know, I remember having a conversation with one of my father's friends who is only votes Republican because they're anti-abortion. You know, and I'm like, you know, you had George Bush in charge for years with a Republican Senate. If they really wanted to pass it, don't you think they would have gotten rid of it then? It's just they're playing with you. So I think that'll be also, the public will be less amenable to being played with, which will be interesting to see how it plays out in the politics. It's like, okay, what are you actually going to do? And remember, this is a 5 year. So 5 years often bring in huge changes, and all the structural stuff we've blown up over the last few years, that will now have to find, you know, it can't stay blown up forever. We have to rebuild our lives. So I think people will really be in rebuild mode as they say, okay, now my new direction is this. So good question, like that one. We don't often get, what do you think is going to happen? Yay. So thank you. glad I clicked on the question mark.
Yes, I hope you have a wonderful new year.
Yeah, and have a great new year, everybody. So we will be back next week on the second, when we have our New Year's show. It'll be a new year. It'll be 2012. I have to update our little logo, and Mark didn't make it. We knew he probably wasn't. He's up with his lovely wife having a nice well-earned vacation. He's been working his butt off lately. So
mm-hmm.
So forward we go. So Heather,
wonderful.
Any last words?
You have a wonderful evening to everybody. This mm-hmm. is Heather Roland Robbins from Minnesota, joined by Ann Ortley.
Mm-hmm, in New York City.
And you can go to see our web addresses on the Access Astrology webpage and come connect with us if you want more personal involvement.
Yeah.
So we hope you have a wonderful, safe, healthy, exciting, and wild new year.
And watch out, no drunk driving, you know, it's, keep careful because there are accidents,
safe.
Aspects that day. And have a great week, folks. Bye.
Wonderful. Goodbye.